Welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to LinkedIn and personal branding coach Megan McNeil. Now stand by for lots of LinkedIn tips. Thanks for downloading. This is part one of a two-parter. I chatted to Megan for over 45 minutes, so what I've done is split it into two podcasts. I don't like really long podcasts, so we've done two out of this one, you know. In the first part, we're going to be talking about how to become more comfortable on LinkedIn, how to cull and mute some of your connections. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? So you don't really get that shouty person constantly popping up in your feed all the time. Now, Megan offers huge amounts of insight, a million tips during this podcast. You can find her on LinkedIn, of course, and at relevantbusiness.com.au. That's relevantbusiness.com.au. Megan's also got a LinkedIn profile checklist as well available on her website. All the links in the show notes, so make sure you check them out. Can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free. You won't hear an advert. I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media. Subscribe on your favourite podcast app as well. Again, check out all the links. You know where they are. They're in the show notes. Now, the first thing I asked Megan was, should I get up at 4:30 in the morning, hit the gym, have a protein shake, learn a new language, and smash the day?
Well, you can if you want, but I won't be joining you.
Thanks. Oh, I see this so much on LinkedIn where it's kind of like, I don't know whether I've just, the algorithm hates me, but I see so many people just telling me their daily routine and their ridiculous routines. Have you seen this stuff?
No, but I am really, I'm very conscious about who I have on my LinkedIn, who I'm actually connected with, and then who I'm also following, because there is a difference. When you connect with someone, that's like a two-way stream. So if you and I connect, I see what you're posting and you see what I'm posting. If, however, I just follow you or you just follow me, it's more of a one-way stream. So who I'm following, I'm always very conscious that I want my feed to be curated in a way that I'm actually going to enjoy it. And I'm not going to feel guilty for sleeping past 4:30 in the morning. But you can, if you're connected with someone, unfollow them. If it's someone, you know, it's one of your friends or someone you see in real life who you have to be connected with, then sometimes you can't disconnect, you can't unconnect, you can't unfriend, I guess, if you want to call it that, on LinkedIn, but you can unfollow them. And yeah, because I don't want to know everybody's routine. That's more of an Instagram thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that. So you can actually connect with somebody and have that sort of like business connection, but then, let's be honest, if what they post is really irritating you and it's really boring, you can actually unfollow them. Do they know that you have unfollowed them?
Nope, they won't even get a notification. So next time, John, when you're on your feed, just scroll through and all of those BMWs and those Ferraris that people are standing in front of, holding their protein shake, telling you how they got up at 4:30 and how you're lazy because you got up at 7:30. There's three dots in the very top right-hand corner of that post. It'll give you a couple of options when you click it, and one of them will be unfollow, and they won't know that you've clicked it. They won't know that you're not connected anymore. You just won't see that guff coming up on your feed anymore.
You know, that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to spend the day those little three dots unfollowing a lot of people with silly cars and just shouting at me.
I'll tell you one thing, John. Whenever I do live LinkedIn training, which thanks to COVID there hasn't been much of it, and we always do a cull your contacts piece, and that is the bit where people get stuck for ages because they're like, oh, will they see it? No. So then I have to show them how you can do it so that you don't have to land on someone's page to unconnect with them. And the amount of ex-boyfriends that get the cull and ex-bosses and people like, they feel like they've had to be connected with these people, and they're just like, it's so cathartic. They're like, goodbye. I've been wanting to do this forever.
Yeah. That's really useful to know. That is really useful to know. Now, when we talk about the personal branding side of things, should we actually think about personal branding? Do you think it's necessary, or should we just kind of be ourselves and let our personality shine through?
Well, it depends what your goals are. If you are quite happy being backstage, then no, don't bother with your personal brand. Just turn up, do your job, go home, just get on with life. That's totally fine. If, however, you're looking for something where you're going to become the expert, expert or you want to be the go-to person within your industry, then you have to start thinking strategically about your personal brand. Because, you know, at the bottom, there's lots of jobs and there's lots of people, and you put in a CV, you do a resume, it's just a regular kind of process of getting a job. The higher up you go, or if you start your own business, the more competition that there is, but also the less competition that there is, because no one else can actually be you. So what you're wanting to do is build such a strong personal brand that you're no longer having to write CVs and you're no longer having to do these big, long proposals to try and get your ideas across. Because what happens is that, you know, when John's in the pub talking to Mark, he goes, oh, Megan can help you with that, because people start talking for you, because word of mouth, well, you know this, John, marketing, word of mouth is always king. But now in a digital world, having a strong personal brand and having that social proof, that's as strong as anything you'll ever get.
So what if you don't want to be on LinkedIn, but you know you must because of this personal branding? Maybe you are a CEO. I talk to a lot of people who don't enjoy social media one bit, any sort of social media. And surprisingly, I'm talking to more younger people who are not liking social media at all, surprisingly. So if you don't want to be on LinkedIn, but you know you must be on LinkedIn for your business sake, how do you get over this?
Well, if you don't want to be on it, like, you don't have to be. It's like any social media platform. And it's the same with when I'm doing personal branding with people. The first thing they think is, oh, you're going to make me into Kardashian and I'm going to have to be on Instagram. And it's not about being internet famous. It really isn't. It's about being industry famous. And all you're trying to do is actually have conversations and have engagement with the people that actually matter, with the decision makers within that industry. So if you don't want to be on LinkedIn, as in like you don't want to be posting every day, which I wouldn't recommend anyway, because less is more in my opinion, it's about that engagement piece. So if you're going to a networking event, you would take your business cards with you. You would go up to a group of people and you'd start speaking to them. You wouldn't just walk into the room. You wouldn't just throw your business cards up in the air and hope someone would catch them. You also wouldn't stand in the corner and say absolutely nothing. So start treating LinkedIn in the same way. Make sure that you're connected with the right people. So we've got no Ferraris on our feeds anymore. We've actually got content that matters to us and about the industry that's actually important to us as well, or an industry that we serve. And that way, rather than having to produce all this content all the time, because that's time consuming and it's quite stressful as well. A lot of people find that very stressful. Instead, engage on the content that's already there. That can be just as effective at times as creating your own content. And it's a good place to start until you start getting comfortable on LinkedIn.
One thing I have noticed on LinkedIn is the content tends to last a lot longer than it does, say, on Twitter and Facebook. I think the average life expectancy of a tweet is about 17 minutes, which is ridiculous when you think about it. How much time and effort you might put into actually building a little video or building a little image, and that's going to last 17 minutes. LinkedIn content does seem to last longer, because I end up getting stuff that somebody posted like a week ago today.
Yeah, and you've probably got a lot more of that recently as well, because they've been updating the algorithm, which is a lot to do with pods. Because if you're on any other social media channel, you would probably know, John, yourself, that pods are very anti. You know, the platform itself will do what it can to try and, you know, make that hard for you to actually use. So if you're on LinkedIn at the moment, they're actually doing a lot to clear out that kind of pod activity, which means that the content isn't, there used to be a golden hour. So basically within that first hour, you jump into your pod and everybody in there would start liking, commenting within that first hour to give it as much reach as possible. But now that they're starting to stagger the content going out, it's to try and disrupt that golden hour type behavior, which if you're not in a pod, totally doesn't matter. All it means is that we're getting content that's a little bit out of date at the moment until things start to settle down. But you're totally right. Even generally speaking, your content does go a lot further because of the algorithm. You've got one piece of content that goes out and it's absolute rubbish. Basically, nobody starts engaging with it. So it just disappears. LinkedIn goes, there's no value here. Bye bye. The other piece of content that you put out is really valuable. It's really engaging. People like it. So it will keep pushing it out until people no longer start engaging with it. Now, LinkedIn is, because of the kind of demographic that use it, it's people that don't always check it the same way that they check Instagram, where they have a quick scroll here, a quick scroll there, and they're continually consuming. It's more of your higher level decision makers, your CEOs, your CFOs, etc., who are a lot more time poor. And when they are going onto social media, they are doing it for a purpose. They're looking for good content. So that might mean that they don't go on for a couple of days, which means that if LinkedIn reckons that that content is going to be good for them, it will keep it and it'll still show it to them in those 2 or 3 days later when they actually come online, which is fantastic. The other great thing is that with things like articles. Now, articles don't get priority in the feed, like LinkedIn doesn't love them at the moment, so it won't get priority and you won't get much engagement when you post it today, but it's still full of SEO goodness. As long as you've got all your great keywords, it'll be fantastic for likes of Google and for people searching in the search bar. And LinkedIn articles have been known to rear their heads like a couple of years later. So yeah, it's got a much better shelf life than your general Facebook, Instagram, especially Twitter. They're at that content.
Go back to pods a second. So am I right in saying that these pods things are basically a group of people who have prearranged that they're going to share each other's content together just to try and give it better reach on the social network?
Yes, and I hate pods. They're called engagement pods. It's basically you and a few mates, there's not normally mates. There's actually websites that organize this as well. But you go into a pod and it tells you that you'll get more reach, you'll get more engagement, which you will 100% get more reach and more engagement because these people are in there, and that's the whole point of it, that they will jump on it as quickly as possible and give you comments and stuff. But those comments are ridiculous and absolutely do not help you with anything, because it's, oh, good on you, that's great, oh, I've been thinking the same. It's the same general like copy and paste crap that people are putting in the comments. Plus, depending on the pod that you're in, if it's one that you've made with a few friends, like, that might be the right audience that you're reaching. But if you're getting put into a pod that's, you know, a random pod with some random people, yes, you can reach into their network, but is their network actually who you're looking for? And are they who you're looking for? Are they who you want to be connected with? Because every time someone comments on your content, you're kind of, it's kind of an association. So yeah, I think they're very dangerous, and I'm really happy that LinkedIn are doing their bit at the moment to kind of squash that as best as possible.
And I presume the people who are in these pods, that they, the chances are they're never going to buy anything off you, are they?
No, because they're in it for themselves as well. It's like, I think any content, no matter what platform you're talking about, it's that 80-20 rule. It should be value, 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 and a sale. Value, 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 and a sale. If basically you're putting out content all the time and these people are like, this is brilliant, that's great, they're never going to buy from you because they're expecting you to also comment, that's brilliant, that's great, on their posts. So it's just a vicious circle.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous, really, when you put it like that, doesn't it? It's just a complete and utter waste of time.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. So when we think about our personal branding, do we need to work out some sort of a strategy? Because there's a million and what, I mean, there's probably about 10 million and one sort of like LinkedIn strategies out there on the internet. And you've got to comment X times a day, you've got to post X times a day, you've got to comment on this type of article, that type of article. Do we need to work it out like that in some sort of weird strategy?
Oh, look, I think the strategy is really easy once you do a clear out. If you don't have LinkedIn right now, if you're listening to this and you don't have LinkedIn, then you're off to a great start, because when you set up your LinkedIn just now, make sure you're very strategic about what it is you follow and the people you're connected with, because that way you've got great content coming up on your feed that you will actually want to engage with, which I think is half the battle. You know, you were talking earlier about these posts that are up at 4:30 and here's my new car. You don't want to engage with that, and in fact it makes you feel a little bit lousy and you go, oh really, like, I'm 3 hours late getting up and I don't have a car like that. Why would you want to engage with that? It kind of puts you off the platform. If you already have LinkedIn at the moment, this is your opportunity to actually get in there and start clearing out. Spend the time sorting out your profile, making sure you've got the right keywords in there. You're actually telling a story on there. You're positioning yourself, so making your personal brand, I guess, if you want to put it that way, so that people quite easily know what it is that you offer, who you offer it to, and why and how, all those kind of things. But also clearing out that who you're following and who you're connected with, so that you're also finding it much easier to engage on the content because you've actually got stuff on there you want to speak about.
The engagement side is a little bit strange, isn't it? Because I see a lot of engagement, and I do engage myself with a lot of stuff on LinkedIn, but I tend to do it quite genuinely if I actually genuinely find something interesting. But you do see a lot of people commenting on things basically just to say, hello, look at me, look at me. I'm here.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that kind of behavior is actually detrimental to your personal brand. And people like you and I look at that and go, what a numpty, like, what are you all about? And yeah. We scroll on. Whereas if you, like you're saying, you authentically are actually contributing to the conversation, someone who's scrolling past will look at that and go, oh, that guy John actually knows what he's talking about. Or, I don't agree with that, but I'm just going to comment underneath and just give him my point of view because I don't think he's considered this. So you are stimulating conversation, which is fantastic. You're going to get engagement. You're going to get noticed. The other thing with LinkedIn is that a lot of users are very passive. So a lot of the conversations that I have based on my content and the engagement I've had on LinkedIn happens in the messages in my inbox and in real life. So don't stop engaging just because you think people aren't actually seeing it and they're not reading it, because you'd be surprised when you walk down the street and you bump into someone, they go, oh, I saw your comments on that post the other day. I thought that was really interesting.
I think that leads us to, how do we be authentic? I know it sounds a really silly question in a way when you think about it logically, but it is, we're told we've got to be authentic in all our social media. Brands have got to be authentic. People have got to be authentic. We've got to be able to put over this authentic feel on social media. And then folks try and force this authenticity, and it looks really awkward and terrible, particularly when brands do it and they try and be like people and stuff. How do we get the right mix of this and try and be authentic?
You just have, well, I suppose you have to be comfortable doing it in the first place. Mm. And that's actually the difficult part. And it's not for everyone. And, you know, as much as everybody has got a personal brand and everybody should be authentic, it doesn't come that easy to people, but it does take practice. It's like doing a video or doing a podcast. You know, the first couple are absolutely terrible. It'll be the exact same when you're starting to be authentically you on LinkedIn and commenting, because I don't know how many times at the beginning I used to sit there and I would type out something and then I'd go, oh, I'm kind of worried about what someone might think when I post that. Whereas, you know, if I was in real life having a real life conversation with that person, that is what I would say to them. And if I'm not happy to stand by it online as well as offline, then I'm not really being authentic. So I think it's having a bit of confidence in yourself to just actually say what you want to say. But it doesn't have to obviously be controversial all the time. That's, you know, something maybe you're a bit worried about. But you know, you can add value. You have got knowledge that other people don't have, and you think that it's common sense and you think it's common knowledge because you know it inside out, but you have to remember that a lot of people don't actually know what you know. So you could be offering them value and they might be missing out because you're not giving it to them.
You see a lot of people on well, all the social media networks really, doing a very much of a sales pitch. Every single post is like a sales pitch, which makes you less authentic, because you don't do that necessarily in real life, do you? When somebody walks through the door of your shop or your thing, or they pick up the phone, you just don't start yelling sales things at them straight away. A lot of the time you just say, hello, how are you? And be normal about it.
Yeah. Best example for this is always, you don't bring a ring to a first date.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. How do we get out of that? How do we kind of like tell ourselves in our heads, stop selling?
If you're programmed to sell, then that's exactly what you're going to do. And yeah. Some people will just continue to do that, and that's fine. They do get sales, because it's a maths. If you put enough out there, something will generally come back, I guess. But if you want something that's going to last a little bit longer, just don't sell. Just keep telling people what it is you do, but without selling. Tell them absolutely everything. I actually don't, like, you know, your podcast here, if everybody was to listen to all of your podcasts, you've got one and a whole load of different marketing things, they wouldn't need you. But they still would use you, because they listen to these conversations and they think, well, John knows marketing inside out. I now understand a little bit more, and I understand more that he knows, so I'm going to use him. Don't ever be afraid to give too much away, because it's all available on the internet somewhere. It might as well be coming out of your mouth. But yes, it doesn't have to have a sales pitch at the end of it. But I would also say, don't be afraid to sell as well, because I think that's where we come short as well, especially as business owners, is that we're sometimes so afraid to go the other way and we don't sell anything at all, when you have to be confident to sell as well. Oh, this is hard, John. I'm giving very conflicting opinions here. Yeah. 80-20 rule. Give as much value as you possibly can. Tell people about what actually interests you. Tell them about what you're passionate about and how they can link into that. And then add a little bit of sales on top of that, and repeat. Yeah, value, sale.
I talked to quite a few folks who say, I don't want to give too much away because people won't hire me then, but it doesn't work. I always use the analogy of wedding makeup, right? If a wedding makeup artist was showing people how to do the makeup, how to do eyes, for example, yeah, right? And they've got a YouTube video showing you exactly how to do eyes for a wedding. And then I tried to do that. It would be the unholy mess. It would just look like clown eyes. Because it's actually the skill of the person who's been doing it for 20 years that actually makes it. It's not the how to do it. So you'll still get business by showing people how to do what you do.
Oh, yeah, couldn't agree more. 100%. And people just want to validate that you actually do know what you're talking about and that you're talking about it in a way that they understand. Cut out all of the jargon. You know, anything that you're writing, any videos that you're doing, they should be done with an 11-year-old in mind. Because if an 11-year-old understands it, that means your potential client, customer, your potential employer, employee, whatever it is, they understand it. Because if you make someone feel stupid, they don't want to engage with you. If you make me feel stupid, I'm not going to be the one to publicly ask you, what does that mean?
Thanks to Megan for her time. Now, don't forget to check out part two of this podcast, okay? If it's not been released yet, it'll happen next week. If it has been released, then it's the next podcast on your list, on your podcast player. Also, don't forget to check out Megan on LinkedIn as well and at relevantbusiness.com.au. Grab yourself a copy of Megan's LinkedIn profile checklist, which is on her website. All the links in the show notes. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.